Joshua was coming to the end of his life. He had taken the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. He was one of the two spies who, before they entered the land of Canaan, gave a good report to the congregation of Israel in the wilderness, saying that they could overcome all obstacles and enter in to the land which God had promised them. At the end of his life, he stands before God's people, and he makes a public statement. He says, "As for me and my house, we will what? We will serve the Lord." He said that not being concerned with what people thought. He said it not being concerned with how they would react. He said it because that's the way he felt. He said it because that was his desire, the desire that God had placed in his heart. And he confirmed before God's people that nothing would separate him, and nothing had separated him through his life from his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Crystal and Lorraine, make that declaration today in your presence. They stand before you, declaring publicly in your presence that their desire is to serve the Lord every day as long as they live. Moses taking the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, came to Mount Sinai. And he went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. As he's on Mount Sinai, conversing with God, God's people are at the bottom of the mountain. And the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, and they began to wonder what had happened to Moses. They went to Aaron, and they said to Aaron, "Let us make what? Let us make a god that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And we find this written in Exodus chapter 32, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Exodus 32. And I'll continue reading in verse 2. Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. The Bible says he received the gold from their hand, he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molten calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Moses is delayed. Children of Israel began to wonder what's happened to him. And before long, they're asking Aaron to make a molded image. And they publicly declare that this is the God which did what? Brought them out of the land of Egypt. Well, after this, God is conversing with Moses at the top of the mountain, and he's relating to him what's going on down at the bottom. Moses descends, and Moses comes to the bottom of the mountain. And in verse 19, it says, "So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing." The Bible says Moses' anger became hot. He cast the tablets out of his hands. He broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they made, and he's doing all this publicly. He's not concerned about anything because he is God's what? He is God's servant. He is not concerned about what people think. He's not concerned what they might do to him because of what he's about to do. He just does it because he's God's chosen vessel. He took the calf which they had made. He burned it in the fire. And then listen to this. He ground it to powder. He scattered it on the water. And he made the children of Israel drink it. Now I tell you that Moses must have had some authority in order for that to happen. He carried with him the presence of God himself. And people took note that he had been with Jesus. We continue. Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are bent on evil." Moses confronts Aaron, and the first thing Aaron does is what? He passes it off, and he blames the people. Do you know that if Aaron stood for what was right, the people never would have done what they asked him to do? They would have never rebelled. But he blamed the people. And it continues, "For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us out by the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them break it off.'" And then listen to this statement. "So they gave it to me, and I just cast it in the fire, and poof! It's a miracle! That calf just jumped out." Aaron was trying to remove himself in any part of the rebellion. And Moses had a decision to make. So do you know what Moses did? He stood up in the entrance of the camp and he said what? "Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me." Now I believe that's the call. God is making a call through Moses to his people to separate themselves from the things of this world and from the evil of this world and to come to him. Lorraine and Crystal have answered that call today. They have put themselves on whose side? On the Lord's side. And we who have witnessed Lorraine and Crystal putting themselves on the Lord's side, we also must reconfirm our own commitment to Christ to be on the Lord's side. Because they, as new members of God's church, are going to look to who? They are going to look to us for guidance. They are going to look to us as their example. They are going to look to us as those who know the truth and can confirm them in it. So we also must place ourselves on the Lord's side. We must reconfirm our commitment that we made previously to him. Not only because it's important to us, but because it's important for them. None of us want to see either one of them go the wrong path. And that requires something of us. A recommitment to what we believe is the truth. Now, there's a story found in Luke chapter 5, and I'll try and cut it short. But there's a story found in Luke chapter 5. Starting at verse 1, The Bible says the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God. And so it was, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and was washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Why? Because there was so many people pressing him. So he went into the boat, put out a little from the land. He sat down and he began to teach the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said this to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled for how long? All night, and we have caught how much? Nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." When he had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that their net was breaking. And the Bible says when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." What's the point of the story? They labored all night long and caught how much? Nothing. Yet at the word of Jesus, they let down the nets. And the nets filled with such a great number of fish that the net was breaking. I'm going to tell you this morning that there is no limit to what God can do in the lives of his children. There is absolutely no limit. We can toil all night and catch nothing, but when we act upon the word of God, there is no limit what God can do. In fact, the Bible says that the nets were breaking, meaning that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even what? Think. Way above us. There is no limit to what God can do with anyone who's sitting here today except the limits that we place upon him. God can take Lorraine, God can take Crystal, and he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that they ask or even think. He could do things with them which he's never done with anyone else. Yet, he could also do it with anyone who's sitting here today. All it takes is for you and I to act upon his word. That's all. No limit to the usefulness of one who puts self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart, and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. No limit. Now, I've heard the saying, the sky's the limit. I've heard the saying, the bottom of the sea's the limit. But I'm here to tell you today there's no limit. Absolutely no limit to what God can do in the life of an individual who commits themselves wholeheartedly to him. No limit. I'm going to illustrate that fact by taking your minds to the book of Acts. Do you remember when Philip was called to go into the wilderness to find that Ethiopian eunuch and preach to him the gospel and help him interpret what he was reading in the book of Isaiah? Do you remember that story? The funny thing about that story is that God spoke to Philip and told him to go into the desert. Now, most of us, if God told us to go into the desert, We'd say, why? What do you want me to go in the desert for, Lord? There's nothing in the desert. It's just barren. There's nothing there. It's dry ground. But Philip just went because God asked him to. An amazing thing that when he acted upon the word of God, he was confronted with a man searching for the truth. And God used him to introduce that man to Jesus Christ. Immediately, when that man's faith was confirmed in Christ, Philip took him down into the water, and what did he do? He baptized him. Do you remember what happened to Philip? The Bible just says that the Spirit of the Lord caught him away and that he was found at Azotus. Well, let me have some physicist explain that to me. Let me have the greatest scientific mind in the world explain that to me. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who commits themselves wholeheartedly into God's presence. No limit. Philip was caught away, and he was found at Azotus. Lorraine and Crystal, there's no limit to what God can do in your life. There is absolutely no limit. The only limit is the limit that you place upon him. And I want to tell you this morning not to place any limit upon what God can do. And I want to remind us as God's people of the same thing. Don't put God in a box. Don't place a limit upon what God can do in your life and the lives of those around you. Don't place a limit upon what God can do through this church. Don't place a limit upon what God can do in this community. Because when you put God in a box, you have put a limit upon him. And you have also, by doing that, told him that he cannot do what I know he can do. I'm going to share with you one other story and then I'll close it up. I know we've gone a little long, but this is very important. When the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to view the land, how many came back with a good report? 2. 10 of them gave a bad report. They said, you know, the sons of Anak dwell there. They're giants. There's lots of obstacles. The cities are fortified and built how high? Up to heaven. They began to tell God's people that it's not possible for them to take the land of Canaan. Only Joshua and Caleb said that all things are possible. And do you know what happened to God's people when those 10 spies said what they said? God's people listened to the 10, not to the 2. And they began to fear about going into the land of Canaan, and in fact, they began to rebel. And in fact, they wanted to take Joshua and Caleb, and do you remember what they wanted to do with them? They wanted to stone them. Now, I'm speaking to God's people here today. We need to place ourselves on the side of the 2, not on the side of the 10. Lorraine and Crystal today believe that God can do anything. I remember when I joined the church, I believed that God could do anything, and it has taken a lot out of me when people say to me, oh, well, you know, maybe that's not in God's plan. Maybe that's not possible. I want to tell you that with God, all things are possible. We do not take the fire that's burning in their heart and dump water on it. We need to dump wood on it so that the fire burns stronger. We need to confirm them in their faith. We need them to believe that all things are possible with God. We need them to believe that when you commit yourself to the Word of God and act upon it, that God can do wonderful things, even things He'd never done before. And we need to confirm them in that faith. So what we need to do, you and I, we know there's obstacles. We know there's difficulties. We know that Satan would hurl everything in our path to prevent us from doing what God would have us to do. But we need to be able to tell Lorraine and Crystal today that no matter what obstacles are in our path, God is with us. He can help us overcome them, and we can walk through those waters and stand on the other side, knowing that God has gone with them, with us through them, and God has given us the victory. Let us, as God's children today, commit ourselves to Him. Let us believe that all things are possible with God. Let us confirm the faith of Lorraine and Crystal today. The fire that's burning in their heart, let's dump wood on it so it can burn brighter, not water to make it die. Amen.